You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Over the next several months, the DNR plans to host panel discussions on what it means to have safe drinking water and to raise awareness about PFAS, the forever chemicals. Is your well contaminated? Must you rely on bottled water? Share with us 800-642-1234. Yesterday, we heard a story about La Crosse area residents who only recently learned of PFAS contamination in their drinking water. But in the northeastern Wisconsin city of Peshtigo, people have been drinking bottled water for years due to PFAS pollution. The contamination stems from the use of firefighting foam that contained PFAS at Tyco's fire training facility in Marinette. As Danielle Kading reports, residents are still no closer to a permanent source of safe drinking water.
Kayla Furton sits on the porch of her childhood home in Peshtigo, just offshore a drive overlooking Green Bay. The property has been in her family for decades, and to her, it's more than just a house.
It's the history, the land we grew up on. It's been so fun swimming in the bay with the kids. And the playhouse that we have is the same playhouse I played in growing up.
The mother of three bought the home from her parents when she moved back to the area with her husband, Dean, in 2016. In 2018, they learned their home is one of many affected by PFAS contamination from Tyco's facility in Marinette.
I fear that we don't even know the full extent of the impact on the community and really especially on the kids.
The chemicals have been linked to serious health issues, including kidney cancer, fertility issues, and thyroid disease. Furton was diagnosed with thyroid disease a year after they moved back. She can't say for sure that it's due to the contamination. Her family has been drinking bottled water for years now. PFAS has seeped into so many parts of their lives that they even give their pet chickens filtered water.
They get very loud. They want us to bring their scraps out.
Research has shown a link between PFAS concentrations in hens' drinking water and the levels detected in eggs. Furton, who's also a town supervisor, says it just highlights the multiple paths of exposure.
It shouldn't be a normal part of life that the water coming into your home isn't safe.
Peshtigo was the first of many communities in the state to deal with pollution from the so-called forever chemicals.
And we haven't even sampled.
That's Peshtigo resident and former hydrogeologist Jeff Lamont. He points out most communities haven't tested for PFAS even at the state's request. Once they do, he thinks the number affected by the chemicals will only grow. Lamont pours a glass of water from his Culligan water dispenser. For the last 3 years, he's been drinking bottled water and using a filtration system paid for by Tyco and its parent company, Johnson Controls. They've been willing to fund extension of a water line from the city of Marinette to the town.
The fault for not getting extension to water, I would have to put with the town of Peshtigo.
He says town officials kept kicking the can down the road. Still, Johnson Controls Chief Sustainability Officer Katie McGinty says it's the best option.
This time next year, we could have clean water flowing through a new municipal water line.
But it's not as simple as putting pipes in the ground. Building a water line would require annexing the town to the city. Not all Peshtigo residents were thrilled with the idea because they would likely face higher taxes and more regulation. Now the Marinette City Council has passed a resolution against extending water to the town. Before the vote, Marinette Mayor Steve Genesot said questions remained over who would bear the responsibility and cost to own, operate, and maintain the water line.
We've got our own separate issues that the city is dealing with this contamination issue.
Peshtigo's newly elected town chair, Cindy Boyle, says the move was unexpected and disappointing.
I think the more options that you have, the better, but we have other options.
Those include going to the city of Peshtigo for water. Whatever the solution, Christine Haig with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says Tyco still has to identify how far the contamination goes and who needs clean water.
We don't believe that we have the answers to those questions yet.
Tyco and Johnson Controls dispute that, and they're eager to move discussions forward about a permanent water source for residents. So is Kayla Furton.
If we focus on the positive outcome, which is clean water for everyone, I think we'll get there.
She just doesn't know how much longer they'll have to wait. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And now to the WPR reporters who have been in these communities digging into the PFAS problem. And let's hear from you on these chemicals used in a range of products from nonstick cookware to some firefighting foams. According to the Wisconsin DNR, there are about 50 known PFAS contamination sites statewide. Is your community one of them? 800-642-1234. Hope Kerwin is a Wisconsin Public Radio reporter in La Crosse. Hope, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And Danielle Kading, who we just heard there in that report, WPR reporter in Superior. Danny, welcome.
Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. Danny, you talked with these Peshtigo residents who have been struggling with PFAS in their water for years. What toll is this taking? What is this environmental problem doing to this community?
Well, it affects them in a wide variety of ways. I mean, first off, they're living with the anxiety of not knowing when they're going to get a permanent source of safe water. And, you know, a lot of these people are families and they have children. And this has, you know, really upended their lives. You know, in the example of Kayla Furton, you know, she's got three young kids, all under the age of 12. And it was hard for them to get used to, you know, not going to the faucet for a glass of water. And learning to go to bottled water instead. They've had to, you know, get people come into their homes to deliver bottled water. They've had to have a treatment system installed. And there's just a lot of concern, you know, about whether or not their exposure before they even knew about it might lead to problems later on, you know, as far as the health of their kids. Kayla herself is experiencing health issues. And so I think, you know, those types of stories are shared by many of the people in the town of Peshtigo and some in the city of Marinette as well.
And Hope, you talked to the residents of French Island in the town of Campbell who recently discovered their PFAS in their wells. And DHS, the Department of Health Services, declared an emergency water advisory in March. How extensive is the contamination?
Well, town officials estimate there are between 1,200 and 1,500 private wells on the island. Only about 530 of those wells have so far been tested. And about 30% of those tested wells exceeded, you know, what DHS kind of considers safe water. So, and only about 12 of the 500 wells tested did not have any levels of PFAS. So even the wells that are not considered above a threshold that DHS would recommend a separate drinking water source still could contain some level of PFAS contamination. So it seems to have affected quite a wide, you know, path of these private wells on the island. And they're still working to try to do some mapping to understand kind of how these are all connected.
And this is an island on the Mississippi River. What has been done since to address PFAS on the island?
So there's kind of multiple things going on to work on this situation. The city of La Crosse was deemed the responsible party by the DNR, and they are pursuing an investigation that's been going on since spring of 2019. And that work is continuing where they are, again, doing some of that mapping, trying to understand, you know, how this contamination happened. At the same time, the town of Campbell is trying to move forward with their own solutions because obviously it's their residents that are being forced to rely on bottled water and their residents whose wells are directly affected by this. So they have hired an engineering company to do a water feasibility study. But unfortunately, a town of 4,000 people does not have a lot of funding to pursue options to explore things like municipal water or other solutions that they could turn to. You know, there was definitely a lot of concern when I spoke with town officials about making sure that whatever solution they pursue would be right and would not lead to just another contaminated water source in the future, because it is going to have to involve taking out loans for that community. So those two things are kind of simultaneously happening, but there still seems to be a lot of debate about kind of who at the core is responsible for this contamination. More than 900 Campbell residents are planning to sue the city of La Crosse over the contamination that they feel, you know, is kind of the responsible party, because it's been linked to the La Crosse Regional Airport, while the city itself has filed its own lawsuit against the chemical companies that manufacture PFAS. So that is kind of the central debate that's happening.
Drawing some parallels here, you know, the town of Campbell on French Island, a small community, you know, Peshtigo, Danny, you've got the town and the city of Peshtigo. So, you know, these are smaller communities trying to find the right path, Danny.
Yeah, and I think you're seeing that because, you know, they're relying mostly on private wells, where we have municipal water treatment plants. There's more of an opportunity to get treatment installed or address that and make sure that water coming out of the pipe is safe for people to drink. With private wells, there's not as much monitoring of these things. And this is also a fairly new issue. Even though this problem has existed for years, people are just now becoming aware of some of the health risks associated with this. And I don't really think this was on the radar. You know, there has been some testing at the federal and state level to monitor for PFAS in the past, but there hasn't been this level of attention before to track whether or not private wells or municipal wells have these chemicals in them.
WPR journalists Danny Kading and Hope Kerwin with us explaining what they've been covered in their reporting on PFAS contamination in areas of the state. Are you worried about being exposed to PFAS? Are you drinking bottled water now due to well contamination? Is your community involved in litigation with manufacturers for their role in making and using PFAS? What can you share? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're discussing PFAS in Wisconsin on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As far back as the 1940s, scientists developed a class of chemicals that are used in a wide range of products, like food packaging, nonstick cookware, some cosmetics, paints, varnishes, sealants, the list goes on. And the DNR has identified dozens of PFAS contamination sites. Are you worried about your drinking water? Has your well been tested? Is your municipal water system exceeding safe levels for PFAS? How did you learn this? It's 800-642-1234. Hope Kerwin and Danny Kading have been reporting on PFAS, and they stay with us. Let's take a call now. Louis joining us from Oconto. Louis, hi.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is there some legislation proposed by Elijah Banky, our representative for Northeast Wisconsin, that there's going to be like a trust fund set up to help pay for this mitigation, but then on the backside that we can't sue the manufacturers of this PFAS. And I imagine this trust fund is going to be taxpayer funded. So it looks like we're going to lose all the way around.
Louis, thanks. Danny, can you take that one? And as we get into this litigation.
Yeah, sure. So he's right. Representative Banky has introduced a bill that would create a $10 million PFAS grant program that would basically help communities address PFAS contamination, but it would prevent them from suing polluters responsible for that contamination. And it, basically, this grant program was modeled after one that Governor Tony Evers proposed in his two-year state budget, but with some changes to it that basically protects businesses from any liability. Basically, lawmakers are arguing that, you know, we should not be allowing communities that receive taxpayer dollars or financial payments to address these chemicals from suing those businesses responsible. And so there's a lot of pushback against this legislation. I believe that Representative Banky spoke on the assembly explore that there were some things that they were going to fix in that bill before maybe a companion would be taken up in the Senate. And so I do think there's a lot of concern from members of communities across the state about how this would impact them and the optics of it, you know, them seeking to protect businesses over community members.
And, you know, Johnson Controls, whose subsidiary is Tyco, agreed to pay $17.5 million to Peshtigo area residents whose water was contaminated. That was at the start of this year. Has that settlement, Danny, helped resolve the problem?
Well, they're hoping that it will address some of the issues. I mean, this settlement would go to people in the town of Peshtigo, roughly around 270 homes in an affected area. And they would be able to get around $2.5 million of that for anyone who's been diagnosed with any medical issues related to these chemicals, like testicular cancer, kidney cancer, thyroid disease. You know, this would also go to property damage because, you know, if your community is being billed as a place where there's a lot of PFAS contamination, then people are suffering from those effects as well. Like they might not be able to sell their home. Or their home may be reduced in value. And then they're also going to be doing medical monitoring with that. So I think there is hope that this is a good thing for residents. You know, they would get some resources to be able to address some of the issues that they're confronting. It's a lawsuit that was the first of its kind to address AFFF firefighting foam in the country. But it's not going to solve the problem of contamination in that area.
And Hope, what are you seeing in terms of the legal recourses and the court battles on the town of Campbell and in the western part of the state?
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, more than 900 Campbell residents are planning to sue the city of La Crosse. They feel that they should have been notified about the PFAS contamination a lot earlier when the city kind of first discovered it after testing in 2014. I will say that, you know, PFAS regulations and our understanding of PFAS has changed a lot since 2014. And at the same time, you know, the city is pursuing their own legal action against chemical companies that make PFAS, saying that those companies knew about the health risks associated with these chemicals, but continued to use them in their products. And so, you know, the city is arguing that they are partly to blame. So those are the two kind of legal battles that are happening around the contamination on French Island.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Hope Kerwin and Danielle Kading, and they are WPR reporters explaining their reporting on PFAS in the communities of Campbell, which is on French Island on the Mississippi near La Crosse, and in Peshtigo. Let's take a call now. CJ in Racine. CJ, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I'm an alderman in the city of Racine. I had a constituent reach out to me asking about our testing of PFAS. So I forwarded that question on over to our Department of Public Works and our water department. However, I was told that we were not able to test for it because we don't have guidance from the DNR or the EPA on testing for it. But that if we did, we'd even be able to use our $46 million from the ARPA to be able to fund for testing. But can we speak more on maybe the testing that's out there so that I can give guidance maybe to our department so we can start testing for it in the city of Racine?
Danny, do you want to go first?
Yeah, so you can test for these chemicals. There was a lot of debate in the beginning about whether or not there were standards that were set or lab certification to be able to measure these chemicals. But there are standards to test for these chemicals. They can be evaluated. And Governor Tony Evers and his administration are advocating for testing of all public water supplies in the state. So far, there have been about 90 that have been tested for these chemicals. So, and the EPA has also done testing of a wide variety of public water supplies, you know, as early as 5 years ago, you know. So this is something that communities can absolutely do. The problem is cost. And I think people are scared about what they're going to find, because once you find it, then you know it's there. And people are wondering if there's going to be cost to remediate or clean up those chemicals, depending on what they find.
Hope, the new mayor of La Crosse, Mitch Reynolds, was on our show back in June, and he told us, look, French Island is getting a lot of attention now, but these chemicals are everywhere. Communities all over face these similar situations, all over need to do testing. How is that sentiment received locally?
When I talked about this issue with Town of Campbell officials, you know, there was kind of some, I would say, you know, kind of mixed feelings about the fact that this is a widespread problem. They know they are not the only community facing this. And so on the one hand, there was hope that the fact that this is a widespread problem in our state, that would encourage, you know, action by lawmakers and other state officials to provide communities with funding to address this. But at the same time, there was some concern that that would mean their town would have to fight for funding to help address this problem. And so they know that there's limited funds going to be available.
Hope and Danny, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Danielle Kading and Hope Kerwin are WPR reporters in Superior and La Crosse. We have links to their reporting on PFAS at wpr.org/mornings. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.